Well, if you weren't paying attention, Tuesday was New Year's Day. 2019 started on Tuesday, and so today it's 6 years old. We have 359 days to go in 2019. There's certain things associated with the new year. Black-eyed peas. Good luck if you eat black-eyed peas on New Year's Day. College football. New calendars. Probably all got a new calendar. Bad checks. Not bad from the chance they're going to bounce, but bad because you put 2018 on them instead of 2019. And then one of the other things that goes along with New Year's is resolutions. Goals. Things that you want to accomplish in the new year. I was reading, can't remember where it was, but they say most people that make New Year's resolutions break them by the 15th of January. So I got good news for you this morning. If you made a New Year resolution, you only got to last 9 more days to come up to the average, okay? You only got just 9 more days. Many people say, well, if I'm going to break them, why should I make any at all? Well, I'm for New Year's resolutions. I think everybody ought to have some goals. I think everybody ought to have some objectives. I think everybody ought to have some things in their life that they want to change, they want to improve, they want to get better. And I think having goals or having resolutions or whatever you want to call them are biblical. Noah had a goal. His goal was to build the ark. Moses had a goal. His goal was to get the children of Israel to the promised land. David had a goal. His goal was to rebuild the temple. Now, God didn't let him. He said, you know, I'm not going to let you because you've been a man of war, but you get everything ready and I'll let your son Solomon build the temple. Nehemiah had a goal. His goal was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after they were destroyed. Jesus had a goal. He said, my goal is to do the will of my Father. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible says he set his face like a flint, which is a hard rock. He was determined to go to the cross to do the will of his Father to die for sinners. And then the Apostle Paul had a goal. He writes about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, when he pens, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In those two verses, I think we see some things that we need to do in order to set some resolutions, in order to set some goals for 2019. And if you haven't made any resolutions yet, you don't have to call them resolutions. Call them goals. Call them objectives. Call them something that you'd like to accomplish in this year. There's some things in these verses that will help us as we do that. I'm not going to give you any specific resolutions this morning. I mean, I could give you some if you ask me, but I'm not if you don't. Unsought advice is often not heard and seldom heeded, something like that. And so I don't give advice unless people ask. But I am going to give you some principles that you ought to apply if you are going to set some goals for 2019. So here they are, 3 of them. Number 1, realize that you haven't apprehended yet. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What he was saying is, I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. I am not yet where I want to be. What he was saying is, I realize there's more I could do or there's more I could be, but I haven't got there yet. Now, this principle of realizing that you haven't apprehended, I think applies to every area of life. I think it applies to your Christian life. You know, when we got saved, we started on our Christian walk, okay? And so we got saved at different ages, different stations in life. And so here's where we start. And God has a plan for our life, and he wants us to get over to that plan. This would be, in Paul's case, he could say, hey, if I ever get here, I have apprehended, I have arrived. Now, So all of us are somewhere between these two points. If you're a Christian this morning, you're saved, and you're somewhere between starting out and to where God wants you to be, okay? And what we're saying, regardless of where you are on that path, on that journey, to just say and to realize, I'm not yet where I need to be. I don't think, and again, I think there's some wonderful Christians in this room, but I think that there's nobody that's here yet. There's nobody that could say, I'm going to sit down. I have arrived because I have become everything that God wants me to be. Now, if you feel that way, please come and talk to me after the service. Would you? Because I want to know your secret. I'm not here yet. I'm somewhere on this path, and I won't stand at a certain spot so you won't judge me this morning. But I'm somewhere on this path. And I say with the Apostle Paul, I haven't got there yet. There's still some things in my Christian life that God wants me to accomplish. The Holy Spirit is revealing those things to me day by day on some occasion. And I still realize there's progress that needs to be made. Same thing, I think, can be said in our family life. The role that you play in your family, a father, a mother, a child, a grandparent. Again, we start out on that path when we get married, a husband. We take another step in that path when we have children. We take another step in that path when we have grandchildren. Hey, and I think there's some wonderful, wonderful grandparents in this place. But again, if we're honest, we would have to say, I'm not the exact grandparent yet that God wants me to be. I'm not the exact father yet that God wants me to be. I'm not the exact husband yet that God wants me to be. And please don't talk to Patty after the service. She'll give you too many examples. But we can all say we're still on that journey. We haven't attained yet. We haven't got there yet. Same thing is true in the life of our church. I thank God for our church. I don't know of any other church I'd rather be at than this one. In fact, I wouldn't rather be at any other church than this one. This is where God wants me to be. I hope it's where God wants you to be. If it's not, you ought to go to the one that God wants you at. And again, I think we have a wonderful church. But have we arrived yet? No. Are we everything that God wants us to be yet? No. There's still some things that we could get better at. There's still some things that we can improve. So we're somewhere on that path. And if you're going to set a goal, realize a goal for 2019, realize that you haven't got there yet. There's still some progress that God wants you to make. Number two, picture where you want to be. Picture where you want to be. Paul talked about that prize. He says, I'm pressing toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In your life, in your Christian life, picture where you want to get. Now, tonight, as I tell you how to keep the resolutions, one of the things I'm going to mention is, don't go for home runs, go for singles. And so if I'm way back here and I picture where I want to get as way over here, I'm going to get discouraged because, man, I got a long way to go. But if I picture where I want, if I'm right here and I picture where I want to get next is right there, I can make it. I mean, I can see it. And that's what I encourage you to do for 2019. Maybe you can see the end of the path, but don't set that as your goal. Picture where you want to be next. Picture that state of being where you want to be next. Picture in your Christian life, hey, here's where I want to be next. I could give you some suggestions, but I don't have time this morning. But picture where that next place that you want to be in your Christian life, in your family life, in the life of that church, and say, that's where I'm headed. That's where I want to go next. And again, we read from Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. if you don't have a goal, if you don't want, if there's nothing that you want to achieve, if there's no improvement that you see to make, if there's no prize that you want to capture, if there's no place that you want to get, the Bible says you're going to perish. You're going to perish. If we have no goals, if we have nothing that we're reaching for, we'll get stagnant, we'll wither up, and we'll perish. Look, I believe the thing that keeps old people young. Now listen, some of you need to listen to this. I'm not calling anybody old. I'm just saying you need to listen to this. The thing that keeps old people young is they still have things that they want to accomplish. They still have things that they want to do. They still have goals that they want to reach. There's still places that they want to go. And so, again, you haven't got there yet. Look at where you want to go. Have a vision. Have a prize. Have a mark. Have a place that you want to get. And picture that in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. And then number three, have a desire to make progress. A desire to move forward. A desire to grow. This desire comes naturally. Hey, I love little babies. Sometimes I wish little babies could stay babies forever. And then I thought back to the time that I had to change them. And I'm glad they don't stay babies forever. I'm glad they grow up. And then they become teenagers, and I wish they could go back to being babies again. But listen, it's a natural desire that God puts in all of us to grow, to improve, to mature. And when a little baby doesn't grow, mom and dad take them to the doctor. There's something wrong if they don't grow. It's not natural for us to stand still in our Christian life. It's natural to keep making progress. It's not natural for us to stand still in our family life. We ought to be becoming better husbands and better dads and better moms and better wives and better grandparents. I mean, we ought to be becoming better in the roles that we play in our family. Our church ought to be becoming better in the things that we do. I mean, we ought to have a desire to do that. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where does this desire come from? Where does the desire to make progress come from? It comes from God. You see, every person that I mentioned a minute ago that had a goal had one thing they wanted to do. They wanted to please God. That's what Jesus wanted to do. He said, I haven't come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of the one that sent me. I haven't come to do what I wanted to do. I've come to do what God sent me to do. And on three different occasions, God the Father looked at his son and he said this, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. You see, Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, he still had a desire to please his Father. Listen, why did Noah have a desire to build the ark? Because he wanted to please his God. Why did Moses have a desire to lead God's people out of Egypt and to the promised land? Because he had a desire to please God. Why did David have a desire to build the temple? Because he wanted to please God. Why did Nehemiah have a desire to rebuild the wall? Because he wanted to please God. Why did Paul say, I haven't apprehended yet. There's a mark and it's the prize of the high calling of God. And I'm pressing toward that mark. Why? Because he wanted to please God. In your Christian life, have a desire to please God. In your family life, have a desire to please God. In the life of our church, we ought to have a desire to please God. And it ought to be behind every goal, every objective, every resolution, call them whatever you want to call them. But that desire ought to be behind everything we set out to do this year. I want to please my God. Amen. I want to please him. One of the first ways we please God is to get saved. That's one of the first ways we please God. You know what? You got to go through the same three steps to get there. First of all, you have to say, hey, I haven't apprehended yet. I'm not perfect. Kelly quoted one of the Bible verses in our Sunday school open assembly this morning. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In order to get saved, you got to get lost. In order to get saved from the penalty of your sin, you have to understand you're a sinner. And the Bible says we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. In fact, the Bible said, and again, the Bible talks about this. I can always find a worse sinner than I am. I can always find a badder sinner than I am. I can always find somebody that's more of a sinner than I am. But God says, don't compare yourself to other people. Now, he doesn't say it, but I'm sure he's thinking it, because I can always find somebody better than you are. I can always find somebody that's less a sinner than you are. But he doesn't say that. He said, don't compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to my glory. And the glory of God was revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to compare yourself to somebody? Compare yourself to Jesus. And I want to tell you something. If you compare yourself to Jesus, you'll understand without a doubt in your mind, you are a sinner. So I haven't apprehended yet. I'm a sinner. Picture what you want. Picture what you want. What does a lost sinner want? He wants a relationship with the one that created him. He wants to know that his sins are forgiven. He wants to know that he has an eternity in heaven to look forward to. You see, God gives us a choice. We can spend eternity in heaven or we can spend eternity in hell. There's no in between. We'll go to one of two places when we die. And we get to decide. And we decide that by what we do with Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. Where do you want to be? What picture do you have in your mind of what you want your soul and your life to look like? We ought to picture a soul that's sinless. When we get saved, that's what God does to us. He makes us just as if we've never sinned. He justifies us. He justifies us. So picture what you want and then get a desire to get it. Now, we don't have to work this up on our own because the Holy Spirit gives all of us that desire. Amen. You see, God's just about done everything that needs to be done for us to get saved. He gives us a book that tells us we're a sinner. He sent his son, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, to die on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin. And then he sends the Holy Spirit, and then he gives us enough faith. The Bible says God hath dealt to every person a measure of faith. He's given to every person enough faith to believe this book when it says we're sinners, to believe this book when it says there's a penalty for sin, to believe this book when it tells us that Jesus died to pay for our sin, to believe this book when it says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He gives us enough faith to believe that. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to woo us to the Savior. He sends the Holy Spirit to gives us a desire to come to the Savior. If you're not saved this morning, it's because you haven't exercised the faith that God has dealt to you, and you've ignored the Holy Spirit calling you to come to Christ. I ask you this morning, what else does God have to do? If you don't exercise that faith, if you keep rejecting the Holy Spirit, God sometimes will go to extremes to get your attention. He will, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. Amen. He wants you to be saved. And he's given you everything you need. He's given you the faith to believe. He's given you the Holy Spirit to try to draw you to the Savior. You're not saved because you don't want to be. You don't want to be. It's not God's will. It's your will. You don't want to be saved. And what you're saying is, realize what you're saying, I don't need God to run my life here, and I don't need God for eternity. What you're saying is, I'll be happy going to hell. And there should be nobody happy going to hell. If you're happy going to hell, you haven't read much about it. If you're happy going to hell, you haven't noticed what the Bible says about it. So, here we are. First Sunday of 2019. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better day to do it than today. I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. So I invite you to come. We're going to stand in just a minute. We're going to sing an invitation song. You can come during that song. I'll meet you down front. I'll get somebody, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you from the Bible exactly how you can do that. Maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized. I think it'd be a wonderful thing for you to come on the first Sunday of the year and say, hey, I've never been baptized. I want to schedule getting baptized. And we'll schedule it. Or maybe you're here today and the Lord told you, hey, this is a church I want you to be a part of. This is where I want you to be. I can't think of a better Sunday than to come and follow God's leading and join this church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Thank you for the salvation and the life, the eternal life and the abundant life we have in him. And I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know it, that don't have it, that you would give them that desire as you do through the Holy Spirit to picture in their mind a relationship with you and then to come and receive Christ as their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray as we start 2019, we get some things that you want us to do. We get some things that, some goals, some objectives that you want us to accomplish in our Christian walk and in our family walk and in our church walk that you want us to accomplish this year. And again, Father, that you put them in our mind, you put them in our hearts, and we do our best to make progress toward those things every day in 2019. Please bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.